welcome to the Urban Vibe podcast. My name is T. Isis, and I'm here with
Carter.
Yeah, and we're here to talk about movies because we love movies so much. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I enjoy movies a lot. It's consuming media is huge today, and movies are the best kind of media.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I love getting immersed in them. It's a whole new world.
Mm-hmm. And for sure.
Someone's world that they made up. Super fun, super fun. But it's our top five, maybe not our top five, like, I didn't rank mine for sure. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with ranking stuff, but definitely my, like, you gotta see these, like, by now. By 2024, you had to see these movies. These are my favorites, so.
Yeah, just recommendations, you know, and the way that I did it is I kind of tied it to a director, mm-hmm. and, you know, directors that I like. And then if you go and watch the movies, then you can check out the director's backlog, and typically you'll find more stuff you like.
Yeah. So do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start off. The one I chose to go with first is Knives Out, directed by Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. Kind of a classic whodunit, but with plenty of twists and turns within it, and can't talk about it too much, obviously, because spoilers, and you need to experience it for yourself. But the set design, the actors, the performances, it's all just top notch, and it gives you everything you look for in a mystery movie.
Yeah, and the cinematography, just the what they were doing artistically, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was such a fun watch.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, there's still a decent chance that you've seen the pictures of Daniel Craig sitting in the throne with all the knives pointing in at his head as he's sitting there reflecting on the case that he needs to solve.
That's such a dope image.
It is. Like, it is.
That was the perfect one to choose for their, like, this is our movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, my first one is Sorry to Bother You. That one, it's a movie. It's basically, I don't want to give too many spoilers about that either, because mm-hmm. it's got a twist, and it's kind of stupid. Like, if you're just wanting to watch a movie and it's like a weird one, you know,
yeah.
a weird one, you're in for like, okay, I have no idea what this is. You're like, okay, this is, I don't know what I'm watching. Watch Sorry to Bother You. It's really good. He's stuck in his work life, you know, mm-hmm. trying to figure it out. And just the work is corrupted, as always. The company is corrupted, and he wants to get up to the top and stuff. So it's a nice watch. It's a weird one, though. I'm saying it's weird. Like, towards the middle-ish end, it just takes a turn, and you're like, oh. But I love it. Yeah. That's what made me love it. So it's a weird one for sure.
Yeah.
Please watch it. Watch it.
Twists in movies are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Especially yeah. the weird ones. You're like, I didn't know this was happening. Yeah, Sorry to Bother You is a movie, too, where don't know anything about it. Just mm-hmm. go into it, no knowledge, just watch it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to go on this side tangent too much, but in terms of, I have some friends that they look up the plot for the movie they're going to see before they go and see it, or they look up the Rotten Tomato reviews and the whole thing, and it's like, you're ruining the experience for yourself. Go watch the movie beforehand. I can understand if you want to look at the score and be like, all right, people really like this movie or they really don't like this movie. But if you're spoiling stuff for yourself going into the movie to decide if you're going to watch it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yes. Experience the movie. Mm-hmm. For the first time there, I get it. Some people want to look up actors. And it's like, just wait until after the movie. I don't know.
For sure.
I guess I wouldn't consider it a pet peeve, but it's up there. Don't do that.
It's just one of those things where it's like, come on, you're ruining it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your second
movie? Yeah, my next one, and this one, he's probably my favorite director. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, I think he's the best one doing it right now. He just released Oppenheimer, but the one I wanted to talk about was Interstellar.
Ooh.
By Christopher Nolan.
That's a good one.
And it's one of the first, you know, it came out long time ago at this point. I should have the year in front of me. I don't. But it's so grand. In the adventure, in the world building, in the world itself, you know, you don't want to give too much away, but, you know, it's Matthew McConaughey going to space, and it's the trials and tribulations that go with that, with a bit of sci-fi to go into it, and it's just really good. It's a whole journey. definitely recommend watching Interstellar.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big, like, I love black holes. So when I mm-hmm. seen that movie and they had all that about it, I was like, this is so cool. And the fact that that movie actually gave more inspiration to what a black hole looks like than what we had known at the time. Mm. And it turned out to be pretty accurate, because then later on down the years, we got our first picture of a black hole. And it was, it's very bad, but it's close. Remember those pictures. Close. Yeah. So it's a good one.
I'm happy you bring that up, because I forgot to mention it. The visuals in this movie, probably the best visuals out of any movie you're ever going to see. Yes. Watch it on the biggest screen that you can.
Mm-hmm. Best sound system. Yeah. Because the soundtrack is great. I mean, I feel like you think Interstellar, you think of that one that... great sound system. Oh my gosh, system. Biggest screen. Like, if you got an indoor movie theater, oh my God.
And like I said, you know, if you've seen Interstellar and you like Interstellar, check out all of Christopher Nolan's films. Like I said, I think he's the best one out right now. Watch Oppenheimer. Watch the old Batman movies. Watch... Memento is a really, like, Christopher Nolan, A+ director.
Gotta check out more of his stuff.
Yeah.
So, my second one is, it's called They Clone Tyrone. It's also pretty recent. It's on Netflix, I believe. But it's, I mean, pretty, the title speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. I like that movie a lot. No, you're all good. They Clone Tyrone. It's basically, oh my gosh, I don't know if we're doing a synopsis type thing, but basically, I mean, they're cloning people. Yeah. The title speaks for itself, but it's really, you know, hey, I'm black. I love me black movies. This is a black movie. And towards the end, kind of, I was nervous. I was like, oh, they're not going to win. You know, they're not going to have that win at the end of the movie, you know, because it's hard for black people to win or whatever, but they did, and it was really great. It's just so a fun movie, all in all. It's a great laugh. It's a fun movie. You gotta watch it. Oh my gosh, please watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's so good. I don't know what else. I don't know the director of the movie, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan.
Oh, I love Star Wars.
It's one of the recent ones, though. But the actor, John
Boyega?
Yeah, he's in there. Jamie Foxx is in there. And then I don't know the actress' name, unfortunately, but she plays Monica in the recent MCU movies.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know her name, but she's a great actress. She's great and she's beautiful. So they kill it. Their whole chemistry makes the movie. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
What's your third one?
Yeah, I'll move on to the next one here. My third one, I went with, I'd say, maybe the most popular director for my demographic, which is late teens, early 20s white guys in Tarantino. Mm-hmm. And I went with Hateful Eight. I'm not a huge fan of all of Tarantino's movies, but this one, in specific, is 10 out of 10 great movie. It gives you a little bit of everything in that there's mystery, there's action, there's some comedy even in a film that there doesn't really feel like there should be comedy, but there is, and it works. Set designs are great, and a good way to... I'm going to spoil a little something just to give you a picture of what it's like is... Most of the film revolves around our core group of characters being locked in a little cabin in the middle of the woods during a blizzard. And there's some people that don't like each other in the cabin, and you can see how that escalates the situation. And it's a great movie. From visuals to storytelling, it makes you feel like you're in the cabin. It's great. Great movie.
Sounds like it. I'm gonna have to check that one out too. My third one is Everything Everywhere All at Once. I feel like a lot of people know about it, but unfortunately there are some people who I've you know, ran into, and they have not watched that movie yet. Gotta see that movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just everything, the visuals, the I don't know, the different type of storytelling. Not so much, you know, I guess it's not that different type of storytelling, but just, I don't know, they had so much fun with it. They brought in, you know, themes that I loved, like with family, generational trauma. Mm-hmm. I guess I see a pattern. There's a lot of recent movies that are going with the generational trauma route, which I think is good. You know, I don't think it's been touched on so much in early media. Probably has, you know, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's been a big focus on it, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's serious. But also just the multiple universes, all that stuff, I am obsessed with that concept. They did it wonderfully, I feel like. And I mean, just an amazing movie. The soundtrack, the everything, the visuals. I think I already mentioned the visuals, mm-hmm. but I can't stop mentioning the visuals. It's so good.
I don't mean to hijack your movie, but one of the things that I loved about Everything Everywhere All at Once was that I feel like a lot of movies today, when they have the multiverse or superpower mm-hmm. or any of those fantasy sci-fi elements, that's the selling point for the movie, is that we have this cool concept that we want to share with the world, where it feels like, yes, it's done well, mm-hmm. but it's the secondary to the story and Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I feel like isn't the case in a lot of movies, especially like MCU, like the big blockbuster ones where they're just churning out movies. That's not necessarily their goal, where Everything Everywhere All at Once had a story to tell, and then they incorporated the sci-fi fantasy elements into that story, and I thought it was very well done.
Beautiful movie. Just beautiful. Yes. Made me cry. Shoot, like, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Are we on to number four here?
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, so with my number four, I went with Baby Driver, which is directed by Edgar Wright. This movie is just fun. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's great love story, but it's probably my favorite soundtrack of all time. And the way that Edgar Wright intertwines the soundtrack into the film, like the opening probably 10 minutes when they have the credits rolling and the theme going, and you're kind of just being introduced to the characters, more specifically our main character, who goes by Baby. His name is Baby.
It's a fun name.
It's just so perfect, because there's the little things like, if there's a ding in the song, it perfectly lines up to when the elevator arrives. The ding in the elevator.
I love stuff like that.
This movie is littered with that stuff, and it fits so perfectly. And like I said, it's a fun story, great love story, with great music. Just makes for a really good watch. Edgar Wright, also known for the Shaun of the Dead trilogy, is probably his most well known trilogy. Their most known work is that trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as big of a fan of the rest of his films, but Baby Driver, for sure, 10 out of 10.
I've actually never watched that movie yet.
You gotta see it.
I got to. It sounds good. I always hear good stuff about it, but mm-hmm. it sounds like a movie that really gets you hyped with it.
Yeah.
You need that. I'm not a car lover, but I don't know a lot about cars, but I do like them. They get me excited. I don't know.
So it's not as much like car stuff as mm-hmm. it is just cool driving sequences. Which is nice, as someone who also doesn't know a bunch about cars.
I'm just like, that looks cool. That's a fast driving car. Yeah. That person looks cool in that fast driving car.
Yeah, and the side characters all kill it. I'm terrible with actors' names, so I'm not going to be able to list them off. But same. Side characters kill it. You know, like there's kind of like a B story that goes on, and the B story is elite. Baby Driver. Great movie.
Gotta see. My fourth one, it's called Fat Man. It's a Christmas movie, technically. I'm not the biggest fan of Christmas movies, unfortunately. I think I enjoyed them more when I was little, but now I'm just not really into them that much. But this movie, it's called Fat Man. The premise is, once again, it's just a fun watch. I like things that are just a fun watch, you know? Especially it's the holidays, you want to watch something that's like, I don't know, fun. But it's about this kid, spoiled little brat, who did not get what he wanted for Christmas, he actually got on the naughty list, and so he hired a hitman to kill Santa. Yeah, so that's the premise of the movie. But the Santa is kind of not the type of Santa you're used to. He's just a guy, really, mm-hmm. but he's also Santa. It's a nice movie. There is action in it. So it was like a, I like action movies. I like movies with, I don't know, action, fighting, yeah. some type of, to get you moving. It's a fun movie. It's a fun watch. It is silly. it's very silly, but yeah. And Mrs. Claus is black. So once again, yeah. I am a black person. I love seeing black people in media. So I was like, wow, what a surprise. But yeah, it's a great movie. Check it out. If you're want like a different type of Christmas movie, that's the one to go for.
And it was Fat Man, you said?
Fat Man. Yeah.
This sounds like a great one.
Absolutely. All right. And then our last movies.
Last ones. For my last one, I chose The Departed by Scorsese. Mm-hmm. And Scorsese is an interesting one. I find a lot of people are really conflicted about his directing style. I think it's really good. Departed, Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of other ones that it... He isn't afraid to show, like, the low points. Mm-hmm. You know? I know it's not the one I chose to talk about, but in, like, The Wolf of Wall Street, it's... such a big thing to show, like, the drug use got mm-hmm. to Jordan Belfort, the main character. It's such a big thing to show that all of the stuff that he was choosing to indulge in was such a big thing for his character, and he really was not afraid to show the low points. And when, you know, lots of drug use, lots of, yeah, just not good stuff. Anyways, in The Departed, then, because it's more about... cops versus mafia, mm-hmm. there's not necessarily those low points for individuals, but it's more so, this is going to be an aggressive take, but low point of humanity.
Oh, interesting.
In the way that things just don't work the way that you would think that they should, and mm-hmm. that people don't necessarily make the best decisions.
Yeah. Which is real.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm dancing around it, trying not to spoil.
Yeah,
right?
I have not seen that movie. So another to my list.
Yeah, Scorsese is definitely an interesting director, and you know has some stylistic things unique to him that some people don't love, but I think he does great work, and different ways of storytelling is always welcome in my book.
Yeah, you have a way of talking about movies that gets me wanting to watch them because. I gotta add these to my gotta watch these movies list.
Yeah, they're great movies.
Absolutely. The fifth one for me is Spider-Verse. The Oof. Spider-Verse movie. So good.
So good.
So good. I love animation. I just mm-hmm. can't get enough of it. I don't think we have enough in you know, American media. I think we do have a lot of animated, you know, titles and stuff, but they don't get the shine or the limelight they could get.
And my thing about it is I feel like a lot of Americans see animation as a children's medium.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that you can tell complex stories yes. in animated movies that are for adults. You know, kids might enjoy it as well,
mm-hmm.
but as an adult, it's okay to like animated movies and shows.
Exactly.
You can do it.
That, like, adults aren't the ones doing the animation. Like, yeah. they can... Let's have more fun with it.
Exactly.
Like, animation, like, you can do a lot with it. And the fact that we're just now kind of giving it that shine, it's sad, but better late than never, I guess. So I'm glad.
Yes.
And Spider-Verse is just a great, I don't know, what do you call it? Like a segue or like a... an
Bridge.
Introduction for some people, like, and not so much of an introduction, but just like a bring you in, like, I want to see more of animation like this. Like, from that we got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, mm-hmm. which it wasn't the same, but kind of had that type of feel, which also
yeah.
great movie.
The animation in that movie too is elite. It's elite.
I loved it. It was so good. Like, they really did it with that movie. Like, it's
yeah.
not in my list. Maybe it should have been, but that is such a fun movie. But the Spider-Verse franchise, and I mean, I can't wait for that third one. The storytelling, especially that first one. I mean, I remember I walked out of that theater thinking I could wear the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am Spider-Man. And the second one, they brought in the like some new characters. Cool. And I feel like they brought what was already good animation to just better animation, And the story is just, I love it. I really do. I cannot wait for that third movie.
Well, and how many times do you get, like, you know, like the main superheroes, like Iron Man, Spider-Man, you know, like, how many times do we get new, unique takes on our beloved characters? And not only that, but then, like you mentioned, like, one of the main themes is anybody can be the superhero that they want to be, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. That's one of the best things about it, and yeah, it just, it perfectly encapsulates what it means to be a superhero.
Yes.
But also
Spider-Man. Like.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yes. And from being in a very an artistic community and stuff like that, the reaction from that movie was just so great to see. It was so positive, like people putting themselves in the mask, like just, I feel like it brought a lot of like hope oriented feelings, which is what we really need.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first one anyway. The second one left off with the cliffhanger and just really had me worried for the characters and stuff. It's still so good, but I love the Spider-Verse franchise.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to like the second one a lot better once the third one comes out.
Yeah.
Because then we actually get an ending to the story. You know, it's a part one to a part two. And anytime there's that, you know you're not getting the full story. And you have to live with it until the next one comes out.
Oh, yeah. Can I say, though, and I'm sorry, if we're, like, I don't think, some people were really mad about that cliffhanger. Yeah. Like, I was looking at some people's, I was like, I don't know, like, I think it was kind of cool. Like, it just gets you ready for the next movie, gets you hyped, you know, keeps you set. Some people were not rocking with that cliffhanger.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, first time I watched it, I'm like, what, really? We're ending it here now?
Yeah.
But that's just out of wanting to see more. Not that it necessarily isn't a bad place to leave off a part one. Because it's already like 2.5 hours long, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's plenty long. You get enough of a movie, and the story's good.
The characters were fun.
I have a question about it. I saw a lot of people, so first movie, very clearly, Miles's movie.
Yes.
You know, it's his story. And then I saw a lot of people saying that the second movie was Gwen's movie.
Ooh, I don't agree with that.
It opens on her, and I don't mean to spoil, but the cliffhanger ends on her.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the story with her family. I can kind of see it.
I can definitely see, you know, how people, because I mean, it's true. They open it up with her, and it was a great opening, by the way. You know, the limelight on her and her family and her, like, issues, her dilemma with, you know, her being Spider-Woman and all that. I don't know, though. I still wouldn't say it was a Gwen movie, though I understand where people can put that narrative on there. I don't think it was. I think it is still Miles' story. I think they kind of just had more room for... I just think we kind of got more of Gwen's perspective in it. You got more from her. I don't know how to explain it, though. It kind of reminded me of a comic book. Because even though it would be, like, Miles' comic book, we might get some of Gwen's, you know, perspective and a little of her story, even though it's, like, his comic book type stuff. So, yeah, I could understand that, but I would not say that. Especially because Miles had a lot of shine.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate that people would try to take that away from him, especially after everything, and especially after the little betrayal that Gwen kind of put him through. Because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you're my friend and I'm kind of messing with you and, like, why you? I don't know. I'm a little more, I'm on Miles' side. I don't know if you can tell with the whole thing, but yeah.
Well, the thing about, it's Miles' story. Like, all of Spider-Verse is Miles' story, undoubtedly. I'm agreeing with the people. I do think that the second one is Gwen's movie, and I don't think it takes away from Miles's shine because the first one was his, and I think the third one's pretty clearly going to be his as well.
Yeah.
And I'd say that she's kind of the second character. If you're going to go down the character list, it's Miles Morales first, Gwen Stacy second.
Yeah.
You know, Peter
Maybe
Parker.
Peter
and so I. Maybe I'm projecting it something that I want more out of these longer series, is that I want maybe our secondary characters to maybe get their own whole movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not necessarily not going to be about our main character, our protagonist, but it's still, it dives really deep into that character, which I think is always good for side characters or anybody who's not the protagonist. Anytime we can flesh out anybody, I think it's great. And this is just taking that to the next level of they're basically getting their whole own movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so might be a little projection on my end of that's what I want to see out of more movies. But I thought that Across the Spider-Verse did that well with Gwen.
Oh, yeah, they did. I did enjoy that they gave a little more character, like, flesh out for Gwen and stuff. But, yeah, I like that. I like that, though. It's an interesting perspective, but, you know, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. We can watch Miles Morales just swinging through New York City for 3 hours and be entertained and have no real plot or anything. Oh,
yeah. And, you know, I think it's kind of like, you know, earlier when we weren't on the podcast, we were talking about Dune, but it's kind of like that. It's like a story. They kind of just flesh out more, and then part of it is kind of just fleshing out more of this character and stuff like that. Kind of interested to see what they'll do in the third one. Like, if they'll keep that focus on Gwen, which I'm assuming they kind of will, but I think they'll cut down on it, because with the movie, or, you know, with the second one, we didn't see, you know, they weren't in the same universe, so that was the whole dilemma, and that they both wanted to be in the same universe and be together and stuff like that. You know, they all wanted to be friends and all that. So I don't know.
Yeah, third one would be interesting. You know.
Oh yeah. I'm wondering how they're gonna make up.
If they stick the landing on the third one here, I think it has potential to be the best standalone trilogy of all time, and that's saying something, because I love Christopher Nolan's Batman. I even mentioned it earlier in the podcast, and I think that's currently the best trilogy of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spider-Verse has a chance to overtake that. And to do it in an animated form as well would be crazy.
That would be just... Don't screw it up. They won't. They won't. I'm not even worried about it. I'm just ready for it.
And before we get out of here, just because you mentioned it, Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Dune 2 if you've seen Dune 1. If you haven't seen Dune 1, gotta watch it before Dune 2, but trust me, it's worth it. There's a lot of exposition and talking, but if you are able to internalize it, or at least be able to pick up on the main key points and watch it, Dune 2 is amazing, and Dune 3 is going to be even crazier. So,
do you think that has a chance to kind of... It's not going to knock down Spider-Verse.
No. But if I was to rank it, at least at this point right now, it'd be 3 out of Spider-Verse, Batman, Dune. I love Dune, but didn't mention it in my thing for a reason. Yeah. It's not necessarily my favorite, and it's not for everybody.
No. Some things don't make the cut. That's okay.
Yeah.
You try harder. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my gosh, that was fun. But once again, we are DMAC Urban Vibe Podcast, and it was fun to talk today. Yeah.
Love talking movies, for sure. And
who doesn't?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. I'd be like, you don't like movies. Like, what do you... Books? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with books. A lot of them stem from books.
Right. You know? Yeah. Dune. Literally, you're just talking about it. Dune straight from books. Spider-Verse comic books.
Yep.
But...
All right.
Yeah. Once again, I'm Carter.
I'm T. Isis.
Yeah. Everybody have a good day.
Have a nice one.